Together, we can make your blonde, blonde. Sheer Blonde Go Blonder Collection by John Frieda lightens and brightens hair 2 full shades to give you your best blonde every day.
Hair talks. Make your statement with Sheer Blonde Go Blonder Collection, only from John Frieda.
Can he do it again? Mike Kidd. Billy stops.
Gets a touch, and he helped out.
That is a man's jam! DeMarcus Cousins nearly brought down the backboard and rim.
You're now listening to the Kings Court Podcast, presented by SatKingsNation.com.
Welcome to the Kings Court Podcast. This is your host, Joe Morgan. As always, I got Vince Miracle on the line. Vince and me have had a hard time getting together this week to get this done. We both got crazy stuff going on. It's been a wild week. So Vince is actually driving through this. So if you hear him getting a wreck, I'm going to still broadcast the show. So Vince, how you doing today, man?
Don't tell anyone I'm driving, Joe. Forgot my wallet at home. I ain't got no license. bad situation. No, I got my license. Police officers who listen to the show, please don't come after me. I'm not driving a 2012 white Ford Focus. That's not me.
He would never. He would never do anything illegal. That's so anti-Vince. Yeah, we trust you completely, yeah. Vince.
Yeah, I'm going 65 in reverse on the freeway right now, but no one's stopping me. Probably Fast and Furious.
So, again, excuse us for the craziness this week, but it's been a wild week. For those of you who don't know, a bunch of us went up to the Portland game. It's just, again, it's been a crazy week. So we're going to go ahead and kick it off.
Not only that, Joe. You got to remind everyone the reason why you've been avoiding this show.
Oh, yeah.
He's scared to admit defeat. Not just in our fan tracks league where... You know, you said the whole time, I can't wait to verse you. My team is better than yours. Blah, 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 blah.
My team is better than yours. See where, okay. Now listen up, fans out there. Two things happened.
No.
One, his Stars got all 4 games and mine only had 3. And you know how he beat me 5-4? By 1 rebound. He ended up with 4 more games than me on the slate and still only beat my team by 1 rebound, and now he's talking trash. So either way, now let's get back to the thing at hand that really matters.
No, if the Kings win by 1 point, who wins the game?
That's not the point. If the Kings lose by 1 point and all of their starters have less minutes than the other teams, and then you have to look at a whole season, who's actually better? That's how this is playing out. But either way, the other one that he's talking about is I did lose the Kings Week segment, even though, man, I was up in Portland, they went into overtime. And we'll get, obviously, into the actual details of the game here shortly. But he's right. He's right. I had the Kings winning that game, and Portland did. So I guess the voting is in. And, Vince, what is my punishment going to be?
Joe the Human Hot Dog Morgan.
Oh, boy. So if you get a chance, I tell you what, we always post up the Friday shows live, and so I'm telling you, if you get a chance, watch it live. It'll be a lot funnier. But if not, it'll still be on YouTube. All of you fans out there get to watch me apparently lay on the ground while they put condiments on me. I really thought the pie was funnier, Vince. I'm really shocked people didn't want a pie in my face because
the hot dog is funny. Think about it.
I'm laying on the ground and you throw some ketchup on me. I don't know. I'm not.
See Joe. For those who look at Joe and who's seen Joe is the hot dog that. It's played by Michael Cera in the movie Sausage Party.
Oh,
he's not
man.
A regular hot dog. He's the Michael Cera hot dog.
That's not funny.
That,
you're being...
He has to lay down on the ground and have his whole family cover him in ketchup, mustard, whatever they like on their hot dog, and make Joe a hot dog for that one moment in life. Think about it, Joe. You're going to be wearing goggles and a mask and nothing gets all up in your face and nothing gets in your nose. Well, your whole entire family, Andy, Ray, all of them, and they just smother you in condiments. This is the very first time they're allowed to beat their dad up, and they can't get beat afterwards. Like, this is going to be hilarious.
It'll be pretty funny. So, we got to get kind of serious. We're running a little low on time as it is, and we're already 5 minutes into the show. So let's get into the week that was. Kings at Pelicans. What a horrible showing by the Kings. Did they get the win? Yeah, they got the win. But what an ugly game. What are your thoughts on that game, Vince?
I thought that the Kings were able to hold off. I mean, there's nothing really good to say about this team right now. Derek Hall's in back. He's playing this, like, coming off the bench so that Ty Lawson can get minutes, but I'm really the starter. Don't judge me. I'm going to be this guy moving forward because he's getting the 30 minutes while Ty Lawson's just running backup. Just fine. But I don't really take anything away from this game other than that. I think Tim Frazier is good. I think Tim Frazier has earned his spot on the Pelicans. And I'm really intrigued to see what that Pelicans team can be at full health. Because I actually do like some of the pieces that they have. But the Kings were bad.
Yeah.
Kings were bad all last week.
I don't agree with that sentence. There was one game that I think they played well, but we'll get into that.
They got scared.
Yeah, we drove all the way up or we flew all the way up and you know, they were worried that we were going to get crazy on them. But I have a couple more things about the Pelicans game that just blew me away. Where is the rebounding beast that DeMarcus Cousins was last year? What happened to him? Where did he go? Like, why is this Kings team not able to get rebounds? Where is the rebounding beast that was DeMarcus Cousins? Why can't the Kings get defensive rebounds at a higher rate? I don't know what is going on there. You know, again, please tell me, somebody in this universe, what happened to DeMarcus Cousins able to get rebounds last year, and this year it's not, and for that matter, the whole team. But the one thing I want to hit before we move on to the next game is you said there was nothing positive that came out of this game. There was one thing, one player that did something that actually made me feel okay about the game, and that was Matt Barnes coming in to be the spark plug at the end that they needed. You know, he came in, he was quick, he was tough, he was everything that he needed to be in those last few minutes to hold on and to motivate the rest of the team to actually possibly play well. He made some mistakes, but he finally started challenging on the boards. He's the only good thing out of that whole game. It was a win, again, but one of the ugliest wins I've seen. So let's move on. Kings versus the Lakers at the Golden 1 Center. God darn, man. Again, another game I'm in the building, and it was all smiles, man. You're walking around after the first quarter. Everybody's just ear to ear. Oh, man, this is, you know, 30-16 at the quarter. Everybody's walking around just, you know, like they're walking around, you know, as the king of their high school, just that big smile on their face. Everything's perfect. Yeah, well, dude. Then every other quarter, they got smoked. Okay, that's a lie. I could handle the 25-29 second quarter. But then only 36 second half points. Again, was there a NyQuil drinking contest in the locker room at the halftime?
I'll tell you, it's not the first time we've seen this happen. I don't know if you remember this, but last year on a TNT game against the Los Angeles Lakers, there was one kid named D'Angelo Ice in My Veins Russell who helped this Lakers team come back. The Kings were able to hold on to that one, I believe so. I think they lost that game on TNT at the same exact time as well. So not only that, they lost twice to the Lakers. But you saw it coming. You saw it coming from a mile away, and that's what made it even more messed up, is that you saw this Lakers team down 19. You saw the Kings start taking the their foot off the pedal a little bit. I remember specifically because I texted somebody right out as the show was going on. I was like, watch, the Kings are going to give up this game. It was textbook. The Kings did exactly what you expected them to. The only thing I'm still curious about is what DeMarcus Cousins was talking about at the end of his press conference. That's the only thing I want to know, is like, was he saying, well, we got a little, I could be saying it wrong, but like tender-footed, we got a little tender-footed or whatever, and he's like, for reasons. And then the lady asks, what reasons? He just says, reasons. So I want to know what that's about, but yeah, I mean, it was just not a good game, and the messed up part is we all saw it coming. We knew it was coming. When Ty Lawson is finishing out the second half, and then you see D'Angelo Russell make three baskets in a row, then you see him starting up in the second half when the Kings were already struggling to give up more points. Then you have a guy like Darren Collison, or even a guy who's the high end. DeMarcus, I can't remember what happened that third quarter, but there was something that happened that third quarter where they just had him on the bench for the longest period of time, and then they expected him to come up back in the game and be so hot that the team's going to win. It just doesn't happen like that.
Here's what blew my mind, and it absolutely. I mean, I'm sitting there watching it, and it's blowing my mind. They're double and triple teaming DeMarcus Cousins, and people who have wide open shots can't hit them. Nobody's there. You're on the schoolyard. You're totally alone. You got nobody within arm's reach, and you just shoot it up, and it can't go in the hole. You're a professional NBA player, and you can't get a ball to fall. And I'm talking about everybody on the Kings, and I don't know exactly what DeMarcus was talking about with that comment any more than anybody else does, because he does some cryptic stuff sometimes. But I will say that I can see his frustration. If you're getting triple teamed and nobody else on the team can even put a shot up, I mean, how do you not get mad at that when you're getting, at a minimum, double teamed? So where is the adjustment from that? How is it that the team isn't making any kind of adjustment and going, hey, let's not even try to get him the ball, or get him the ball, but then kick it right back out to the open guy? And when that happens, how are they not able to shoot? So that game...
The team was not making shots. The Lakers were out hustling the Kings. That's exactly what it was. It was
a huge, horrible, unacceptable loss. A huge, horrible, unacceptable loss. That is what that was.
Well, they got the lead out early. It's not even about the fact that they lost, how they lost. Like, they had a 19-point lead. To watch it dwindle away As if they never should have held the lead is what makes it so easy.
Well, and
but dude, they got out hustled, they got out effort. I mean, they got outed in every category. They got out rebounded, they got out scored. I mean,
yeah,
you can go down the list of everything.
Well, and if you only count
with energy.
If you only count second, third, and fourth quarter, then relook at those stats. It'll make you want to throw up or cry. If you have any care about this team, if you have any. I mean, even 1% of you says, oh, I like to watch NBA basketball. You'll look at those stats and you go, where did this team go? What happened? But I left that building feeling like the wind had been knocked out of us. Like, what had happened? The wind had been knocked out of the Kings. And I really hope that that's not what last year January double overtime loss to Charlotte was, where from then on out the team never recovered.
And, I'm sorry. That game was nothing compared to that Charlotte game last year. That, I remember that Charlotte game last year, the 50 points by Boogie Cousins.
The difference is you were in the building. Believe me, if you were in the building, you felt that same shot to your gut on the Laker game the other night. I'm telling you.
There's such a big. The Kings were on such a hot, like I was like a 6-game winning streak at the time when that game happened.
And the right cross came out of nowhere.
And then Cousins having a career high night. And then the ref blows a bad call of a whistle to get him ejected from the game. Then Rudy Gay hurts his eye. And then you have Darren. Oh, my gosh.
All right.
Kobe Bryant.
All right, I know. I'm not trying to get you hypered up before you go into the office this morning. So let's move forward to a game that I actually think. Well, let's put it like this. Kings were in Portland. 34 of us. Flew up there, and there were more Kings fans in the building than that, obviously. But 34 of us flew up together, sat together, and I'm telling you, I don't know what the Portland fans do, but until we started chanting, they didn't even know that they were supposed to. That was a quiet building until the Kings started their Sacramento chants, until they started the defense chants, and then the Portland fans finally kind of woke up and started chanting back. But easily the best game of this 3-game week. And it ended in a loss. That's a sad state of affairs when the best game that they played all week still ends up with an L on it. So, Vince.
That's not true. I mean, it was our game of the week for a reason. I mean, David Dex came on. Him and I talked about it very closely about what to expect from these two teams, and he was absolutely right. It was a 2-on-2 game. DeMarcus Cousins and Rudy Gay versus CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard. Was it not a 2-on-2 game?
There was a lot of that. I'll definitely admit that there was a lot of that going on. There was a lot of 2-on-2 basketball.
If you were ever wondering how good Rudy Gay was, they saw it against the Portland Trailblazers. Like that, Rudy Gay just did a little bit of everything, and he did it in such a smooth way. He looked smooth on the floor. That's all I'm saying. He looked smooth on the floor.
I can't come up with a better game he's had with a Sacramento jersey on. I was actually racking my brain trying to come up with something to compare it to, but it was the best game that I can recall him having as a Sacramento King.
I don't know. I mean, it's up there.
And I'm not talking about purely on a stats basis. I mean, watching the game and how he played and how he facilitated, even when it wasn't, how can I put this? Even when it wasn't a statable, you know, it wasn't always an assist. It wasn't always a rebound, but just where he was moving, where he was at, how he was just involved in the game. It was one of the best, if not the best effort I've seen from him as a Sacramento King. Now, again, has he had better nights if you look at a purely statistical basis? Yeah, I'm sure he has, but that's not what I meant. It was him and Cousins were out there playing basketball together like they were friends in middle school, where it was just they were both playing like they've known each other a long time, like it's been it should look all year long, I guess is the best way for me to say that. But it was at the end of the overtime, it was a loss again for those of you out there in Kingsland who are actually watching it. There were some questionable calls, but that's been the case all year, so don't be shocked by it. And it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, calls are going to be calls. You can't count on that. And Rudy had two shots, two different chances. I think it was 13 seconds left and 6 seconds left, if I remember my game correctly, and just couldn't get it in the hole. So what were you thinking about at home watching that, Vince?
I thought Rudy
Gay
put on a show.
No, I meant just those last two shots. Like, was it as emotionally punched to the face of an NBA fan as it was sitting there in the building live?
I don't know. I mean, I was doing a different show. I mean, I was hosting the Fantasy NBA Tonight show when the game was going on. The funny thing is that I was completely distracted because I had FanDuel money on that game, and I had all four of those players: Rudy Gay, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, and Boogie Cousins. And I needed them to go into overtime.
So those of you watching Fantasy NBA today, if you watch Vince's eyes, there's a TV to his upper right while he's recording. So you'll notice him checking that stuff out. It's pretty funny if you know what you're looking at.
Yeah. So I mean I have to keep up to date with what's going on around the entire league now. It's just been pretty cool. It's a lot of fun to do so. I mean, with the Kings, they should have won that game. And on top of that, I will say this too: you're talking about questionable calls. I think the most questionable call is whether or not the refs are really out for DeMarcus Cousins. Because if he would have pushed Myers Leonard the way Myers Leonard pushed DeMarcus,
he'd have been home. He would have gone home.
He would have been in the locker room watching the rest of the game.
And when they called that an offsetting technical foul, it was even the Portland fans in the building kind of did a double take, like, and then it took them about a second, and then they clapped. But there was a good second where they went like, "What? I just watched that replay. I don't know what you're seeing." And it would have been one thing if it was a live bang 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 kind of call, but it wasn't. They went and actually watched the replay, then called it offsetting. And again, for those of you out there who didn't actually see that, watch it and you'll understand the question here. What in the hell was that call? But
I'm not saying the refs are out for DeMarcus Cousins, but he has a history, and he has a persona about him, and he's going to complain about every single call. He's going to be a little bit of a flopper. He's a little bit of a hothead. So when they see him get shoved, they don't see it as a big deal. But when he gets shoved somebody else, it's the same reason why they have to review everything that happens with Matt Barnes. Oh, Matt Barnes blocked the shot. Hold on, that was a foul. Rewind the tape. I mean, they've done that so many times. It's almost becoming a running joke on Twitter. Every time Matt Barnes gets a foul, they got to go back to the tape to make sure it's not flagrant. I mean, that's what happens.
So
when you become a villain to the refs.
The way you said that, you said, "I'm not sure if the refs are out for DeMarcus," and my response to that is, "And I'm not sure if Sharks are out for Blood," but. Yeah, they all. I mean, and again, I'm not gonna go too deep into it, but because it doesn't matter. Because at the end of the night, you're gonna get calls, and you're gonna have calls go against you, and you still have to outplay it. Cousins had a great night, but late in that fourth quarter, he had a chance to put it away. He missed. He went 0-for-3, and at the end of that, he gave up the two turnovers late in the game. It just couldn't end the game. So yeah, it's not. The Kings' offense scored, I get that, but, you know, they just couldn't close that door. They just couldn't find a way to end it. And, yeah, through his heroics, they ended up going to overtime, but it just didn't, you know. Either way, great game, best game of the week by far. If the team that played in Portland plays more often than the team that played in L.A. or played against L.A., rather, the Kings should have a really good year. So what are your thoughts there? Kick it off, and then we'll move into Kings week.
When you're watching at home, I mean, the late game execution in those last 2 minutes of overtime and in the fourth quarter just were not good. The Kings couldn't figure out a way to steal the deal. And that's been their problem all season long right now, right? That's why they have
all season. Let's go with all decade.
Okay, all decade. But, I mean, I'm just looking at this season as a whole right now. I mean, they have a few wins. They just don't know how to hold it off in the fourth quarter. And maybe it's because they're tired because they're giving out so much effort defensively. But at the same time, you look at it, they're still one of the worst defenses in the NBA this year. We've seen improvements. It's true, we all have. I mean, we've talked about it on the show. You've seen the improvements. They're still one of the worst defensive teams of the year, of the league right now. So they're not if they're giving out that much effort and that's all you're getting, it's still one of the worst defenses. You have to supplement that with great offense somewhere. And on Portland, they had it. They just didn't have it enough. I mean, you look at guys like Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum and what they were able to do for their team. But, yeah, I mean, it came down to some questionable calls. Like that three-point shot trying to win the game in the overtime just wasn't a smart shot. It was just not good late-game execution. You saw the mid-range jumper from Rudy Gay coming. You saw it coming. He couldn't finish it. I mean, I'm not saying that DeMarcus isn't a finisher because we've seen him finish off games. But he had the mismatch. He scored a ton of points. The refs weren't blowing the whistle the right way. There was a lot of questionable situations that happened. It was just a sour taste to a loss. But at the same time, after what happened to Los Angeles the night before, what happened against Los Angeles the night before, I don't think people walked away from that game with a sour taste in their mouth. I think they walked away with just like, gosh, the Kings can't catch a break right now. All right, guys, it's that time of the week again where we hop back in the DeLorean, give the people what they want. It's Tuesday time.
Give the people what they want.
Back to the future.
And here we go.
All right, Joe, what game comes up first?
The first game, Wednesday, November 16th, San Antonio Spurs will be playing in the Golden 1 Center. San Antonio comes in with a record of 7-3, I think all by knockout, actually. The Spurs have an offensive rating of 110.52 with a defensive efficiency rating of 104.88. Now, Vince, what's your key to the game?
My key to the game, to winning in this one, I'm telling you right now, it's going to be a fun one. Stop Kawhi Leonard. That simple. That is, you stop Kawhi Leonard. If Rudy Gay, Aaron Falls, stop Kawhi Leonard, this game is over. It's done. LaMarcus Aldridge can't handle Boogie Cousins. Thomas Hall cannot handle Boogie Cousins. The whole Spurs team can't handle Boogie Cousins. But at the same time, Sacramento Kings can't handle Kawhi Leonard. That's where they're going to have their issues. This is me being like a boxing promoter because you said all of them were by knockout. So that's what I was going for there.
All right, I'm gonna go ahead and give my keys to the game, and mine are a little bit more mathematicalisms. I can't come up with the right word there, so we'll keep working on that next time, Kings fans, and you guys will hear a cool math word. But all right, whatever. The Spurs are giving up almost no offensive rebounds to opposing teams. I don't know who's been watching it, but it's crazy. They're giving up only at a rate of 18.7%, which is the third in the NBA. While the Kings are picking up 23.4% of offensive rebounds, which is 15th in the NBA, they really need to get better at that. And if you want to win this game, you need to fight in the paint. You need to get those boards. Again, what I was complaining about at the Laker game is their inability to get rebounds. They need to fight down low. They need to get the second chance shots. They need to get those because those are the key to a game. You start getting down the wire, and you're able to get a second shot off when you finally do miss one, you're going to win the game. I have a couple more, actually. My second key to the game, these two teams are matched almost evenly on opponent turnovers per game, or per possession, rather. And with that, the Kings need to hold on to the ball. Kawhi Leonard last time made some of the Kings players, I won't say who, look really, really, really stupid. And you can't let him do that. You have to stop that. So I'll go ahead and stop it there. But the Kings need to stop I'll give you a couple more pieces here. The Spurs are turning over the ball 11.5 times a game. The Kings are doing it 14-3. You have to be under them if you want to win this game. So again, turnovers and boards. You've got to win those battles if you want to win this game. All right, Vince, who's your FanDuel player of the game?
FanDuel player of the game? oh, man, Kendall player of the game, I'm going to go with Darren Collison.
Darren Collison. You're going Darren Collison. All right. Give me your reasoning.
I mean, I'm just looking at it. I mean, Patty Mills is going to be a formidable opponent. I think Tony Parker, if he plays, I mean, he's going to be someone to cover. But at the same time, Patty Mills plays enough defense to where he can stay in front of somebody, but he doesn't go over a lot of screens. He likes to go under on a lot of screens, which leaves an open shot for a guy like Darren Collison, who's not afraid to shoot the basketball. And he'll take a ton of three-point shots. I think he's going to need to be that third option sooner rather than later for this team. And why not do it against the San Antonio Spurs, a very tough opponent on Wednesday night? So they've had a couple nights off. I think that this could be the game where you see Darren Collison slide to the starting role. But it could very well be that he continues to come off the bench all season long and just have 3 minutes stints with Ty Lawson as a starter, which is fine. It's not about who starts the game. It's about who finishes, right?
That is the truth.
I'm looking at it. He's going to be right around like $6,000. So he's going to need to give you 30 FanDuel points. I don't see why he can't get you 9 assists. I think that there's a good chance he can score 13 to 15 points, which is just fine. He'll get you a steal. And that's kind of what you're looking for. You're looking for the steal. You're looking for the handful of rebounds. If he can give you the assists with the points, I think he can do so against that Spurs team because they're going to need that third option with so much focus being on DeMarcus Cousins and Rudy Gay.
All right. In this game, I pretty much would be fading this game. But the one player that I'll be looking at is Aaron Aflalo. The Spurs are allowing 45.6 points per game in their last five games to opposing shooting guards. And it's their only really weak spot is the shooting guard spot to go against in FanDuel, I mean. So go cheap with Aaron Aflalo. I would avoid Rudy Gay like the plague that night with Kawhi guarding him.
Danny Green's back, though. Danny Green is looking good. Did you see what he did against James Harden in the fourth quarter of that game?
Bro, I'm just running statistics for you. I'm telling you what the stats are. And in that game, he gave up one of the highest point totals. Now, it was against James Harden. I'll give you that.
James Harden!
Regardless, I'm still telling you. The only play I'd make there is a cheap play. So, take it. Kings lose this one without a miracle. 110-105. My question to you, Mr. Miracle, is what do you think? What do you think the final score is?
Kings lose. Final score: a lot to a little.
A lot to a little. Wow, that was a rough call there. All right, moving on. Friday, November 18th, L.A. Clippers are coming into town. They are coming in at 9-1, and definitely all by KO. So their offensive rating is 110.54, with a defensive rating of 95.63. They're absolutely the best in the league right now. They're just smoking people. So, Vince, give me your keys to the game.
Key to the game. Make your shot. No, I'm not going to make that the key to the game. The key to the game is going to be live up to the intensity. So that's going to be an intense game. You already know that DeMarcus Cousins and Chris Paul aren't the best of friends. You also know at the same exact time that Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan are two big men that like to bump into the body of other big men. And DeMarcus Cousins happens to be one of the biggest bully ball players that is out there in the NBA today. And so he's going to have to live up to the intensity because that is the game plan for all teams. And he knows it. He talked about it at the end of the Lakers loss. Teams are going at him, so he loses his cool, and he needs to learn how to stay cool and composed in those games. And that's exactly what he's going to have to do if they're going to want to beat and have a chance to beat his really, really, really good Clippers team. Can you believe that we're saying the Clippers are this good? They really are, though. Their defense has just been amazing. That's what's been winning their games. The offense has been
and it came out of nowhere.
Their defense is amazing.
Their defense came out of nowhere. No one expected them to have this superior defense that they're having this year.
They did. They expected it.
Apparently. So my key to the game, keep the ball. The Clippers are third in the league, averaging a little over a steal for every 10 possessions. Not only, I'm not talking all about turnovers, just steals alone. 10% of the opponent possessions, the Clippers are able to get the ball. Keep good ball control. Deliberate passing. You got to keep the ball in your hands to have a chance at being in the game. Secondly, you kind of hit it on the head a little bit there, Vince. Fouls. The Kings are fourth worst in the league, giving up 24.07 fouls per game, with the Clippers averaging 20. That's four extra fouls. That's eight extra shots that you're talking about against a team that's going to outscore you anyway. No, that has to be flipped around. You cannot give up eight extra shots to a team like that. Now, they're one of the worst in the league, averaging only 7.30 from the foul line, but still, this cannot be a hack of DeAndre game. Not when you got a guy like Boogie Cousins who needs to be deep in the game. Not when you need to be able to defend hard into the into the third and fourth quarter. And I'll give you my example there. The Clippers are adjusting well to play in the paint, giving up 21.8 points in the paint for the first half of the game, but only 18.6 in the second half of the game. Kings are doing the exact opposite with 17.6 in the paint early and 20.2 after the half. Jaeger needs to make those adjustments, and the players need to guard the paint late, and that has a lot to do with the second key to the game that I said of fouls. And if you stay out of foul trouble, you can be aggressive underneath later in the game. But when Boogie and Matt and these guys are going in there and they're getting fouls early, you don't have the ability to guard tough and rough in the paint late into the game. So they need to keep the fouls low so they can guard the paint hard and hard, as hard as they physically can, I guess is the right way for me to say that correctly without saying violently. But they need to be able to guard low late into the game. So that is my play. So FanDuel, play of the game for you, Vince. Who is it?
I'm going to go J.J. Redick, just because the Kings don't know how to guard shooting guards. And J.J. Redick, he just moves around way too much. Ben McLemore, Aaron Aflalo, they haven't found a good way to stick up with him. He can score the basketball. He's going to shoot a ton of threes. He's a first quarter assassin. I'm looking for 20 FanDuel points from him. I think he can get it for me because I think he could score 20 points in the game, which would be just great if he could just add some trickle of other stats. So I think J.J. Redick is my guy.
All right, my FanDuel play of the night. This is the second game in a row that I'll be fading. Again, to be honest, I'm fading every single player in this game, but if I had to choose, I'm going to go with Blake Griffin. The Kings are giving up 47.6 fantasy points per game to the power forwards in the last five games. But again, my recommendation, fade this game, run away from it, don't get involved. What is your final score there, Mr. Vincent?
Final score? Kings lose.
Okay.
I don't do scores.
Outstanding. Well, you say the Kings lose. I agree. Kings lose. And I hate to tell you guys, Kings fans. Yeah, this will be the what is this now? The 200th in a row loss? No.
It's the fourth game of a four-game losing streak.
Yeah, fourth game in a row. And that brings us to the end of the L.A. Clippers game. So now it's time for the game of the week.
We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure.
Saturday, November 20th, Toronto Raptors come into town, 7-2. They have an offensive rating of 111.53 and a defensive rating of 104.81. Standing in the other corner, the Sacramento Kings. No, honestly, what are your keys to this game, Vince?
What are keys to the game? Do whatever you did last time because it's going to be a tougher one. No, I'm sorry. I'm having a rough morning. My knee hurts. I'm walking upstairs now. No, I think the key to the game is very simple. Attack the rookies. They have rookies right now at their power forward position. DeMarcus needs to be able to be more aggressive than he was in the very first contest. So attack the paint, attack the rookies.
Attack the paint, attack the rookies. I couldn't agree more. My first key to the game is the exact same as it was last game. Offensive boards. And realistically, boards on all sides. But the Raptors are getting second chances 25% of the time. Kings need to stop them from doing that. They have to crash the boards on defense. They're not allowed to get any second chance points. You let this Raptor team miss and yet still end up with points on a possession? How do you expect to beat them? You have to stop that. Second key to the game, while the Raptors are getting a lot of offensive boards, they're giving up even more. They're allowing opponents to have it 26.3% of the time. Get in there, get those offensive boards yourself, and put the ball back in the hole. It seems pretty simple, I think. So, I don't know. Either way, the other thing that you want to do against this team is you want to get those and ones. You want to get in there and get the fouls early. You want to go against this team and go into the paint early, go into the paint hard, get some of these Raptors into foul trouble, and possibly you can have the paint yourself instead of, again, what we talked about last time, where the paint ends up being somewhere that the Kings can't go because they're in foul trouble. Try to flip that around on them, and actually you own the paint in the second half. So those are my keys to the game. Who's your FanDuel play of the night?
DeMar DeRozan, and Boogie Cousins.
we're almost 100% on the same page there. No one in Toronto can stop DeMarcus from scoring. Likewise, Aflalo will be very hard pressed to stop DeMar DeRozan from scoring. I'm still kind of iffy on Kyle Lowry being one of my plays here. Ask me again kind of closer to Friday time frame. If you have my Twitter, go ahead and ask me later in the week, and I'll kind of answer my Kyle Lowry thoughts. It's a little too early in the week to guess that. But DeMar DeRozan and DeMarcus Cousins will be in almost every one of my lineups. If I had to pick between the two for whatever reason, I'm going to say DeMarcus gets my lean, you know, as my one FanDuel player of the game.
I'm going DeRozan.
Well, and that's half the reason I said that is because I knew you'd go the other direction so that both of them end up in everybody's lineups. But either way, both of those guys are going to be in every one of my lineups. So
I said DeMar DeRozan's name like four times for a reason. DeMar DeRozan. Yeah, well, needs to be in all lineups.
He's going to be absolutely eating Aaron Aflalo up, and I don't mean anything against Aflalo. I just mean DeRozan's been on a streak lately on top of the fact that he's just going to outplay – you know, the Kings are horrible against shooting guards. Just horrible. So, and any real, I say shooting guards, they're horrible against wing players. They're horrible against pretty much everybody who's outside the paint. So, that is
what it is. Against the Clippers.
Say again?
That's why I chose J.J. Redick when we were doing the Clippers game.
Well, that is all for this week, Kings fans. You got anything to add at the end of this here, Vince?
Yeah. Who do you got winning this one?
Oh, I'm sorry. I hate to say it, Kings fans, but this is going to be the fifth in a row. This is another loss for the Sacramento Kings. They're on a rough road stretch coming up. They're on a rough stretch of games coming up. They're just on a rough road, and there's no way around it. You're just going to have a rough time. So this Toronto game is the, you know, the final punch in the face at home. So that's that.
Kings win.
You think the Kings win this game, really? Wow.
Yes, they're going to win by eight.
Man, I'll put it this way, Kings fans out there. I'll be happy to take another pie to my face next week. I'll be happy to be wrong on this one, but
it has to be 10 games. But
I understand, but I'm just saying, looking at the schedule right now and looking at the things that are going on, I'll be exceedingly happy for Vince to be right on that call. But I think that's another loss. So
I think the Kings win by 8 points.
Man,
in that game, I think it's a more dominant performance by DeMarcus Cousins. It won't take him nearly four quarters to wake up and realize that there's a rookie double teaming him for a easy pass to a wide open player. It's just gonna be up to the other guys to make shots. So, yeah, I see the Kings winning by 8 points. I probably shocked you a little bit.
No, 100%. You shocked me because, again, I'm usually the optimistic one, and this year I feel very, very little optimism. So it is what it is. Where can the fans and the people who want to talk to you find you online, Mr. Vince?
At VM Center on all social media platforms. You guys can watch me Monday through Friday on Fantasy NBA Tonight if you're a premium member over at that site that I work for. Fantasy NBA Today on YouTube on Thursdays at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and on SatKingsNation.com, and that's about it.
Hoop-ball.com for those of you who don't know where he's also working at. So you can find me at Sac Sports Morgan on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. You can find us on Sac Kings Nation. And that is all, Kings fans. So talk to you next week.
Cabela's is coming to Northern Virginia with a spectacular new store in Gainesville. Find everything you need for hunting, fishing, camping, and shooting sports, plus much more. Join us for our grand opening celebration Thursday, March 9th at 10 a.m. Be one of the first 500 in line and receive a Cabela's gift card worth up to $500, plus a chance to win one of three Remington firearms. See store for details. Don't miss Cabela's grand opening in Gainesville, located off I-66 and Highway 29 near Virginia Gateway.